Hello, this is Rob Kiskevich with SSTI, and I want to thank you for joining us for the third installment of SSTI Podcasts for 2013. During this series, we'll be highlighting the 2012 winners of the SSTI and Excellence in TVET Awards. Today, joining us will be Skip Brung. He is the President and Executive Director of ONAMI, the Oregon Nanoscience and Microtechnologies Institute. In 2012, ONAMI was the winner of the SSTI Excellence in TVET Award for Commercializing Research. Thank you, Skip, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So we'll start with a little bit of background about ONAMI and how it fits within the innovation ecosystem of the state.
Well, ONAMI is really Oregon's first big experiment in tech-based economic development. The antecedents go back to 1997, but now we are part of the Oregon Innovation Council, which runs a number of programs, including three signature research centers, of which we were the first. We are, in fact, the innovation program for the state, the signature research centers, and we get a lot of attention from Oregon Business Development, from the governor's office, and the business community.
Okay, I think one of the things that, and you talked about it, was kind of connecting everything together. What would you say were some of the difficulties and some insights you would give to someone who wanted to connect, multiple universities with business and also bringing the state in as an actor that's providing funding to this type of program?
Looking back, we were really fortunate. So to begin with, the impetus for having an innovation program in the state came from industry, which back in the middle 90s was experiencing a shortage of people they wanted to hire. So they wanted to see a program to increase the number of graduates in engineering and computer science. At the time, and I was with Hewlett-Packard and on that group, I thought there was going to be a future problem, needing to create jobs and commercialize research. That turned out to be right, and industry followed right along with that. So they were the ones that requested from the state and the university system to do something. The other thing in which we were very fortunate is that executives at the vice president of research, dean of engineering level, and some key faculty leaders with great visions were already collaborating or willing to collaborate, so we didn't have to talk the universities into wanting to work together. We had a great team of university executives and faculty leaders to begin with, and that has made all the difference. That said, there is a lot of what we do, is integrating things. That seems to be my role in life, is putting pieces together rather than inventing individual pieces. And it took us a little while, to come up with, a structure. This was about the beginning of 2006 that we worked that out with a great big retreat, with the industry people and the university people and the faculty leaders, how exactly to do that. And it's proven to work very well with a combination of collaborative and competitive funding vehicles that we employ.
And you mentioned that kind of the driving force to start out was industry looking for students from the state that would be capable of fulfilling positions. I know that in the application it talked a lot about that type of student engagement into different types of programs. Could you talk a little bit about some of the benefits that you have found in Oregon by emphasizing the student work experience program?
Well, that, so where it began is still the case for a lot of industry. We have, by the way, Intel's, largest and most advanced plant in the entire world, so their demand for talent is insatiable, and I don't think we'll ever be able to generate all of it inside the state of Oregon. But anyway, industry, of course, is very interested in their talent supply, and students are interested in developing opportunities. We believed early on that we needed to do much better in startup companies, getting them financed and delivering successful exits to investors. So not only, when we get a research program, does it, provide research opportunities for students that industry likes to hire, but we've recently developed a program where PhD students can have internships in our portfolio of gap fund companies. We're executing our second. These are kind of slow in coming and difficult to do, but we think it's a program that will gather momentum. We're also, with the Center for Sustainable Materials Chemistry, which is a big NSF award that the universities received, OSU and U of O together, running an innovation program that's executed by the NCIIA that we're funding and part of, where, you know, we involve students in considering entrepreneurial and startup company career paths, you know, besides the traditional academic route that is the default mode for PhD students. So those are some of the ways that we work with students.
And could you expand a little bit about, beyond the student experience, what other programs are offered by UNAMI? I know you particularly have three main programs at the center.
Well, the flagship program is the Commercialization Gap Fund, where we are looking for a pairing between, you know, either some intellectual property, the result of some research at a university, or simply a core capability or facility, pairing that with an entrepreneur and a market opportunity. And the times we've been successful, which is, you know, at least half of them, we have a really strong signal on both, you know, a unique capability or research finding and a really great business leader or business team, you know, that's able to do all the things they have to do, you know, raise financing, you know, land customers, successfully complete product development and so forth. So that program we've put about $7 million into since inception, and the companies have raised about $113 million in leverage funds. And these being startup companies, they're still small, and the breakthrough potential, you know, hasn't begun to be realized for many of them. So I think we're expecting great things based on what we've done in the last few years. They employ about 120 people, many of them former students today. The second program is networking the university core facilities. There's about five of those, and it's a growing list, to be available on equal terms for all researchers in the state. So, for example, the University of Oregon facility accords the same cost and access terms to clients from Oregon State and Portland State as they do for their internal researchers. And then also being available on a very easy, accessible fee-for-service basis to industry and startup companies. We're a sparsely populated state. We want to be able to keep great high-tech companies here, and part of doing that is having expertise and tool and machinery access that's close to where the company is. And so that's our, we call that high-tech extension. And then the final program, actually where we started, is simply investing in research capacity, helping assemble teams, of course, university people, national lab people, company people, to apply for major federal opportunities. The most recent exciting one of which was the Center for Sustainable Materials Chemistry, funded by the National Science Foundation.
Mm-hmm. And to go back to something you talked about briefly, when it comes to looking at a startup company, what type of services and how do you connect them to that public research infrastructure, which you mentioned is so strong in Oregon in this field?
Well, we have, like I say, a couple ways of doing that. You know, the really high-end one is that they could win a highly competitive up to $250,000 gap grant. And then what they get with that is the use of funds that we agree to and a lot of mentoring from us and our entrepreneurs in residence, who are three people, successful serial entrepreneurs that are each guiding, you know, five or six companies as well as grooming new applicants. We have an advisory council of active venture investors who are interested in the program in part for an early look at future deal flow, but who are also great advisors. And then I spend probably most of my day just networking, whether it's customers, investors, you know, possible talent. We've found, you know, CEOs, lead engineers, and things like that. It's a very collaborative community in Oregon. It's a small state. It seems like everybody knows each other. And so it's really an easy business community to navigate. Short of the GAP grant, we'll do all those things for short of the $250,000, we'll do all those things for any company that we're able to help. And, of course, we have kind of a hotline or an email where people can ask us, is it possible to measure this or get this done? And we'll connect them with someone at one of the facilities who can do that. And then we'll field, you know, business plans or proposals, or people will have them referred to us just to comment, you know, on their idea, is it viable or not, and give them some connections that maybe we have. It's a lot of networking.
That's really great. And I think one of the things that stood out to me personally was how your application spoke to the evolution of UNAMI and how you've learned from your mistakes. And could you describe the process of, like, changing and some of the stuff that Onami has done to make themselves, to make yourselves the organization you are now?
Well, okay, that's a great question. Of course, it seems like we've been fortunate that most of what we've tried has worked really well, or at least it hasn't flopped badly. We actually receive less funding now. I think our high watermark, I think in the second biennium of full funding, we had $9 million. This current biennium, we have about 5.1. And so we've really sharpened our pencil. So one of the things that we did early on that we no longer do is startup packages for signature researchers. We're happy with the ones we did, but we concluded that that was not, you know, a high leverage use of funds, so we don't do that anymore, and we can't afford it. We've also tightened our criteria for matching awards. It used to be early on that we would match just about anything that a university faculty member, you know, was applying for. Now we are emphasizing and limiting, you know, those matching awards to multi-institution collaborations, you know, major strategic large awards that require cost share, and industry-sponsored research. Early on, we narrowly avoided the mistake of taking the funds that we were going to receive and then just predetermining what they would be invested in and then monitoring in some way how things went, and structured most of what we do in the form of competitive programs like the GAP grants. And so people have to apply for this funding, and they have to put some effort in, as opposed to, you know, it is distributed as something that has, you know, a bit of an entitlement flavor. We learned early on not to do that. With the GAP program, you know, our deal flow gets better and better all the time, which is sometimes frustrating for the companies when they know they have something good and we don't have enough money to fund it. But the big learning there is that, you know, an idea will not sell itself. There has simply got to be, you know, a strong leadership team for a company that is going to be able to turn this idea into a business. We call that undergoing a mindset shift from technology push to market pull, which is personally difficult for me because I'm in love with science and technology. That's my besetting sin. Probably will never change.
And I think you mentioned something there that a lot of our members would be really interested in, that the idea doesn't sell itself. So obviously metrics matter in this sphere, and, you know, to get that continual funding. Could you talk a little bit about what metrics Onami captures and follows, how they present that data, and how they collect it?
Oh, yeah, that's a really important question. I should have mentioned that earlier. So that's hugely important. I think that's maybe the biggest secret to our success. We called this early on, you know, in discussions with our university partners, the Onami Investors Report, the investor, of course, being the state of Oregon. And so we've refined that not too much over the last 8 years, so that what we're measuring is research volume, so research activity across our membership. And that's, you know, not because we cause or enable everything that happens, but we start with a baseline, and we could see that there was an inflection point that started to go up dramatically when we got involved. So research volume, and we don't always successfully communicate that creates jobs too, you know, graduate students, postdocs, faculty support, services that are purchased and so forth. We measure external usage of the core facilities, both number of clients, including number of clients within the state, and the sales volume or the billings volume, in a manner very similar to the National Nanotechnology Infrastructure Network metrics for their facilities. And then the one that the legislature really cares about is, you know, the direct economic impact in terms of job creation. So we take our entire portfolio of GAP fund companies, which now numbers about 31, you know, with varying degrees of success. And quarterly, we strobe them for, you know, the number of FTE that they employ in Oregon and the amount of leveraged funding that they have collected, either in the form of, you know, federal grants like SBIRs or, you know, founder, angel, VC, private equity investment. And that is, we have successfully argued, I think, the most important, you know, leading metric. The first thing that a company has to do is attract resources, you know, and get to market. And it's after that, in several years, that a major employment growth ramp becomes possible.
And finally, I think we've already learned so much, but if you were going to give a piece of advice to a state similar to Oregon or a region that wanted to start a program similar to ONAMI, what would you say, what advice would you give them?
I think, you know, it's really important to have, you know, a core team, you know, of constituents who are really engaged. And so that means finding out what, you know, the win-win-win-win is. You know, you aren't going to have people who really want to be involved if they aren't getting something out of this. And so understanding, you know, the concerns and constraints and capabilities of every potential partner is really important, so that you've got, you know, a real true goal and objective alignment, you know, that will see you through, you know, the dark days or, you know, the slog, you know, to get things put together. So, again, we were very well served, you know, with great support from the state, industry, and the university community. We will take credit for skillfully putting that together, but without it, you know, it would have been just another false start, and there had been many false starts.
Skip, I want to thank you for your time, and I just want to thank our listeners for also taking their time to listen to us. I think they're going to get great information out of this session and just be able to learn from it. So, if our listeners would like to learn more about ONAMI, they can visit the website at www.onami.us. And for more information about the SSTI Awards programs, visit us at www.sstiawards.org. Once again, Skip, thank you, and congratulations on the award.
Thanks so much. It was fun talking to you.